Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 107.
You think you're dreaming me?
You're not Shibarian.
No. Who am I then?
A puppet.
And you're not. Or maybe you're my puppet. But like all puppets, you think you're actually human. It's the puppet's dream, being human.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Mrs. Rachel Zelag.
Hello, Clarice.
In this episode, we are discussing another remake. We are going to be discussing Solaris. But before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. All right, Mrs. Zelag, how about a beverage? What are you having midweek?
Midweek, I am drinking a Tall Boy Summer Shandy.
Tall Boy Summer, like from who? From Lagunitas?
Yeah. Is that the ones? No.
Oh, not from Leinenkugel, sorry.
There it is.
That's what I meant to say.
Ends with Leinenkugel.
I'm also having a beer.
Aw, that's cute.
I know, I'm kind of slumming it, I feel like.
And I'm loving it.
Yeah, I was slumming it and loving it. I was, I had a beer, I had some beers. I feel like I've never had a beer in my life the way that I said that. I had a beer the other day and was like, oh God, I feel so full because I've been so used to drinking just vodka.
Right? Yeah.
Or wine.
For and every meal.
Yeah. All the time, whenever I want. School's out, I can do what I want.
Right. Fun.
Yes. And so today I'm going with our friends over at Zipline Brewing.
Ooh.
I'm having their IRA. Not an IPA, but it's close. And
what does that mean?
The description says, the IRA, nothing to do with Irish people, brings together the alluring red hue and malty body of a red ale with all of the citrus, grapefruit, and piney hoppiness you'd expect from an American Indian pale ale.
That sounds gross.
That sounds like, yeah, I mean, I've had a few of them, and it is something that you would not like.
I love red ale. Like, I like red ales.
Yeah.
But I just cannot get over eating grass. Like, I do not understand it.
Yeah, the IPAs, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be sexist. Well, yes, I do want to be sexist. All of the ladies that I know don't like the IPA.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll continue to be sexist and say it's a taste bud thing. Like, maybe it's just doesn't, maybe it's just not a thing. Because I know that Annelle, you know, she poison checks all of the drinks, right?
Right.
And so I'll say, well, here, I got an IRA. And she's like, what's that? And I said, well, you're going to just drink it. Because I was about to say, well, you're not going to like it.
Right.
And so she has it and she goes, oh no, that's an IPA. Gross. I'm sure you're going to like it though. So no, I do like it just fine.
That's weird. I want to find women that like IPA. I'm sure there are some out there.
If you're out there, ladies.
My aunt drinks IPA sometimes.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not sure if she enjoys it. But...
Lady Zelag on Twitter and on Instagram.
It's true.
Hit her up.
Yep.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the discussion. We're going to start with the Russian film, the Russian original from 1972, and it is, of course, entitled Solaris.
At precisely 1900 hours, I entered the cabin of the spacecraft and settled back for liftoff.
Ready, Kelvin?
Ready.
Good luck.
Donatas Banionis, Vladislav Dvorjetsky, Natalia Bondarchuk play the leading roles in Solaris. The scene is somewhere in the cosmos. The time, the distant future. The place, a planet yet unknown to us.
Hey,
based on the novel by Stanislaw Lem.
Carrie doesn't exist. She is dead. Accept it, Kelvin, or you are lost.
Let us take you with us to Solaris, planet of mystery, embodiment of man's latent conflict with the unknown. Man, face to face with his conscience and with his past. Directed by Andrei Tarkovsky, who gave us the classic film Andrei Rublev. A Studio Mosfilm production.
The Solaris mission has established a base on a planet that appears to host some kind of intelligence, but the details are hazy and very secret. It's Earth. After the mysterious demise of one of the three scientists on the base, the main character is sent out to replace him. The main character. He finds the station run down and the two remaining scientists cold and secretive. When he also encounters his wife, who's been dead for 10 years, he begins to appreciate the baffling nature of the alien intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Awesome. That's a good one. Okay.
Main character.
I love it when a synopsis says main character. The main dude, I don't know. I wasn't watching the movie. It was like in Russian.
Right. Well, it's like Game of Thrones. The guy with the hair, lady face.
I still don't know those words.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe you as a person.
We haven't watched it. And Nanelle says, I'd like to watch that show. And I'm like, no, we don't have time for it. We're watching other stuff. So.
What is better than Game of Thrones?
Well, you will be proud that we are almost halfway through The Office now. Because Anel's never seen it.
Oh, that's right.
And so, she was a Parks and Rec disciple. And so she would never be convinced that The Office would be any good. And it took her most of season 2 before she started coming around. And then now she's like way in. She's way into it.
I think that was like most of America, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's season 3, 4, and maybe 5 that are good. And then it starts to tail off a little bit.
Yeah. I had to sit with my parents and physically make sure that they watched Parks and Rec before I left the house so I would know that they were into it.
Nice. That's...
But I got my dad a Ron Swanson mug for Father's Day, and he enjoyed the shit out of it, so there.
Yeah, if people also haven't already seen, I've got a pretty sweet Ron Swanson print where it's a little Lego Ron Swanson, and he's holding bacon and eggs.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
There's nothing that can't be cured with breakfast food.
That's true. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into this discussion. I'm assuming that this was not attempted before by you. Right? It wasn't.
Yeah.
This wasn't brought to you from Brad when you guys moved in together. It wasn't like, hey, I've got I've got Hitch and I've got Solaris.
Solaris, yeah. Those are the two that he brought, Hitch and Roadhouse.
I thought you'd be bigger. Yes, Roadhouse. It's a great movie. This is also a first watch for me, or is actually like a second or third watch by the time I made it through. What did you think of Solaris, the original, the Russian version?
No.
No bueno, huh?
I think it's one of those where the premise is interesting and the delivery is not DiGiorno. Like, I read that it was like an art piece, which I can get behind, but then don't try to make it a plotty, I don't know. There was a lot of dead space for me, and it was like literally an hour and a half too long. So.
Oh, it absolutely was, and that is why the remake is almost a full hour shorter. You know, the remake's under 2 hours. This is almost 3 hours. Interesting enough, it says here on IMDb this has a 90 score from Metacritic, which is you know, it's out of 100. I mean, that's really high, yeah. And it is a very well thought of film, and I kind of had not like crazy high expectations, but I was like, okay, this is going to be good. I know that it has been compared to 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I've never seen that.
Oh, Stanley Kubrick's film. That I absolutely loved and was kind of blown away by. And it is very atmospheric and not a lot of dialogue, and you have to just kind of figure things out. And it's kind of fun to figure it out in that film, though. Here, I was kind of baffled and just didn't get it and really struggled. Like, I really had a hard time with, like, trying to stay interested.
Well, and, like, the things that I... Okay, so we get this, like, really long, drawn-out thing where we're literally inceptioning, watching people watch a video.
Yes.
And they talk about this 12-foot-tall human person, and I'm like, holy shit, I can't wait until that foreshadowing comes back into play.
Yes.
And just never did. Like, what was the 12-foot kid in the middle of the ocean? Like, what? Oh, I was just really, you're right. I was really confused. And, okay, like, we're not gonna do the compare and contrast thing just yet with the two.
Right.
But normally when I see a movie where they're asking you to fill in the gaps, like I think you kind of said like with 2001, totally fun, totally love stuff like that. But if you don't give me any clues, it just pisses me off.
Yes. That's how I felt. I felt like, okay, I'm not getting it. Like what's going on? Like I don't understand. Why am I caring? Like, what am I?
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to like grasp onto in the film. And
yes.
Rather than trying to like figure it out, I just felt sort of defeated and was like, oh, I don't fucking care anymore. Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm just not understanding it is what I felt like.
I don't think there was anything to figure out is the thing. Like, I don't think that's what the goal was, to put the pieces together. So like, here we are, like, on this, like, Sherlock Holmes space mission to try to figure things out, and I don't think that was, like, the point of the movie, I guess. And so, like, that pissed me off, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just there was a lot of, like I said, foreshadowing that never paid off or never had any returns to it, and it was just very odd.
Yeah, it was one of those where it definitely did have the loaded gun type thing in Act 1, and then you just never saw it again.
Yeah, they threw it out. They threw it in that weird purple ocean or whatever. I don't know.
And so some of the things that were really strange to me. So he gets, the main guy gets on the station.
The main character.
Right. He gets on the station. He starts to check things out. We have a guy that he was friends with that's killed himself, and we have, you know, a couple of people that look like they're going crazy, and I'm like, okay, maybe that'll be sort of interesting. And then for some reason we have a little person running around.
Yeah.
And like a grown little person, not like a kid, but it's like, you know, someone that is a midget or a dwarf or whatever the correct vernacular is. But it is a little person running around, like, with a full, like, 5 o'clock shadow. And I even paused it and, like, scanned back and was like, yeah, that's just, like, a small dude running around. Like, what the fuck is going on?
right?
And do we get any answers for that?
Other scientists?
Yeah, do we get any answers for that, Cruz? No, not really. I mean, we can we can understand that that had something to do with that guy's brain, that the ocean scanned his brain and brought that dude alive, maybe.
Yes.
But okay. But we see that at that moment, and so it's kind of what I got out of it. I was like, okay, you know, his wife comes back. That's interesting. And he's, you know, thinking that he's sleeping with her. He sends her off on a rocket. He does all this different stuff. And she keeps coming back, and I'm like, holy shit, like, that's something we can work with here.
She creeps through the door, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she, like, the door opens the other way or whatever, and she, like, panics and rips the shit out of it.
Right, and herself.
Yeah, and the guy's like, dude, it's a pull, and she's trying to push.
Right.
It was, like, a huge fail that she just ripped through it, you know?
I just can't be without you.
And that was something that what we can talk about when we get to the newer version, but that was that's an interesting idea, to where it's someone that's brought back or their existence is dependent upon you, and so you're the only thing that they know. And so of course that's the only thing that they want to be around, because they don't, you know, they have no concept of anything else other than you.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, that's kind of fucking scary.
Right. Well, I thought it was also kind of like a location thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be next to you in a certain, like, you know, feet or whatever.
Yeah.
Damn restraining order.
Yes. You know what? And this is embarrassing to admit, but you know what it made me think of? Is she is in love with him so much, right? And it made me think of an episode of Saved by the Bell. Where I believe Zach gets his wish in that all of the girls like him, or maybe, I think it was Zach.
I mean, that sounds like a Zach Morris.
Yeah, it could have been AC, but regardless, one of them has a wish to where all of the girls like him, and so they pretend like it's actually true, and then every one of the girls like him. And I remember watching that, and I was like, oh, that doesn't seem so bad, and then it starts going wrong for him, and I'm like, oh, God, this would be awful. Like, this is
right.
This would be horrible. And that's what this very prestigious 1970s Russian film made me think of. It's fucking Saved by the Bell.
The 6 degrees of separation of that to this.
Oh, yeah, we get to Tarkovsky and freaking Dustin Diamond in the same same podcast.
Oh, man.
Wow. But yeah, I don't know. So that was kind of an interesting idea. Like, I kind of liked that idea of she couldn't physically be separated from him. She couldn't emotionally be separated from him. And I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. And then as we go, and she starts becoming more of a person, and less dependent upon him, and starts like sneaking around and stuff, I was like, okay, I'm kind of with this a little bit now.
Yeah.
But then ultimately the main guy just didn't care at all. Like, I just didn't connect with him whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Russian man, so I don't have a sweet gray puff of hair in the front of my head. So.
Yeah. That was weird. Like, I don't know. I just.
And also at the beginning, just to interrupt you because I can, like, I didn't know who those people were. Like,
right.
That- his weird uncle, who is the lady that looks horrifying, like she's like a schoolmaster of an all-girls school that will beat everyone's ass with a yardstick, like, who are these people? And like, so immediately, and who are the kids? Whose kids are those? And like, what is the point of that guy telling me that he saw that, met that, like, the whole kid thing, like, random yes. children from nowhere. Oh, I'm just
God, I don't know. You know, looking at my notes, I wrote 4 things down, which is not a good sign. Usually if I'm invested and I start losing it and I start becoming disinterested in a film, I will start writing down a lot to try to come up with something to say.
Yeah.
Here I was just kind of like, I don't even know what to put down.
What are you going to put down?
I just put
a bunch of questions?
Yeah, well, I put down zoom in on the grass under the water, and I wrote that down because we have that really long take, one of very, very many long takes of things in this very long movie. Yes, and so so we're zooming in on this grass that's under the water and it's flowing, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be something about like nature or something about, you know, like Mother Earth and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I figured it was going to be some kind of thing that was going to be interpretive. And I was like, all right, this is going to be my sort of thing. Like, I'm going to be way up my own ass and reading into things and seeing things that aren't there. I was like, this is going to be perfect.
I'm going to annoy the shit out of Rachel.
Yeah, that's right. And then we have, you know, it's a perfectly sunny day and it starts downpouring.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, like, and I put, well,
too.
Yeah, I put sunny day rain as a weird choice.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Right? I was like, I don't know that I get this. The next thing I wrote down was we have this very long car ride on a highway.
Yep.
I put black and white car ride. No idea. Because I didn't understand the purpose of that at all.
Yes. I actually read, because this is one where I was like IMDb-ing because
oh,
I was,
did you look this up on the trivia? Because I also did look this up.
Oh, you did, the car ride part.
Yes, the extended scene.
Right?
Yes. Go ahead and tell. Okay.
Well, it's because they were in China, right? And they wanted to like make the most of their...
They were in Japan, but yes.
Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like rare for them to get the ability to film in Japan, and so in order for them to like basically get a return on investment, they had a giant ass long car scene, basically, right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
To justify the fact that they were there. That has nothing to do with anything.
With the movie, which, like, reading on IMDb that this is like an art piece and these are my feelings, but also we need we need to make sure that we got our money's worth in Japan.
That seriously has to be between like five minutes, I would guess.
Yeah.
And you're just watching traffic. And I thought, who gives a shit?
You don't.
You're watching it in color, then you're watching it in black and white, and there's just nothing going on.
Unless like you live in that part of Japan and somebody drove by like where you go eat like food every day, but oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you're like, oh dang, look at that. That's my apartment right over there.
Sweet. But I live in America, and I have no idea what any of that stuff is. So, no, I don't care.
And I'm going to call it China.
America.
Yeah, that's right. So I put that, and then I put the last thing I wrote down that we already talked about. I put little person what? That was it. I just didn't.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I just didn't get it.
I hope the kids were.
I would love it for Cameron or someone to be out there and be like, oh, this is a tremendous movie. Here's why. Just send it to me. So that way Rachel doesn't have to see it. But just send it to me and say, here's why you are stupid. Here's what you're missing. And then if I see it and can grasp the concept and be like, oh, okay, I did miss it.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. I would be really pleased by that. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I would love it.
I think I'm on the same page as you. Like, if it's an art piece, then tell me it's an art piece and I can watch it like an art piece. If it's supposed to be some sort of allegory about your own consciousness or something, like, let me know and I'll rewatch it, like, with that mindset.
Yeah.
If it's just supposed to be some dude with crazy people in space that's kind of fun, then, like, let me know and I'll, you know, but, like, I don't know. Someone explain the children to me. Are they, like, if it's, like, an allegory, are they, like, some weird, I don't even know what they would be representative of, so.
If we have another allegory or two dropped in during the recording, I think that would make up for us not understanding.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Oh, my God. I don't know. I was just so, because I've seen the remake. I've seen the newer one before.
Okay. Okay.
And I'd always
give you like a little bit.
Yeah, like, I guess I thought so, but I still, it must have been long ago enough to where I was like, I don't know, understand what this is at all. It was probably because the first hour and a half didn't exist in the remake.
Yeah, no shit.
And I was just like, I don't know what this shit is. I won't get it.
Because like I was watching it thinking the same thing, being like, I can't wait to get on the podcast and have Eric explain to me what is happening in this movie.
Oh, no, see, that, what an asshole thing that would be, because that's what I would normally do, though, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, oh, Rachel, no, this is totally the most obvious thing in the world.
That's what I was counting on you to, like,
oh, hell.
Dumb and Dumber, like, Lloyd represents, you know.
I would go Dumb and Dumber 2. And... Oh, my God. So, yeah, it was a frustrating experience for me. It was something that I was really looking forward to it because, like I said, I'd heard really good things about the film, and it is well regarded. And Tarkovsky is a very well thought of director, but I just, you know.
Is it well regarded in the fact that everyone is too scared to admit that they have no fucking idea what it's about, so they just say it's good?
Maybe. It's not like I have, listened to podcasts about people talking about the film or anything,
right.
But I just know that, you know, people do think highly of it.
That's so, a great idea. Just make a movie that seems artsy and that nobody really knows what it's about and they'll be too scared. You just be like, what, you didn't get it?
Oh, you're so dumb. I think that's what, Primer? That's what that was. You remember that?
No. Did I watch it?
Is that what it was called? It's the time travel deal where they keep getting into the box.
I even got that movie more than this movie.
Well, it's that director did a sequel, or not a sequel, but he did his second film, and it's supposed to be very hard to understand. It's on, damn it, I wish I had this shit pulled up. It's on Netflix right now, I know that.
You don't know what it's called?
I'm looking it up.
Is it called Parks and Rec? 'Cause I can watch that.
No, that seems pretty straightforward, right?
I don't know, sometimes I don't get it.
Well... Sometimes you have too much to drink, so. It's by Shane Carruth. That is the director. It is something something blue. Upstream Color.
Upstream Color.
Upstream Color.
Awesome alt rock band name.
And the cover art is a couple, and they look like they are laying together. They are laying together in a bathtub.
Huh.
With their clothes on.
Oh my God, I do that all the time.
So. Not what you were hoping for, I'm sure.
Nope.
So anyway, okay, so did we have anything to say, anything else to say about this very frustrating film that we had a hard time with?
If someone emails you an explanation, read through it, and then layman's terms it to me.
Yeah, I really would love it if someone, like, has the... Because this is a Criterion Collection film.
I don't know what that means either.
Like, the Criterion Collection, like, they typically only do... important or artistic films and remake them and like not remake them but like you know fix up the image and make sure the sound redo the sound and have essays and articles and all this stuff included in the DVD or in the Blu-ray.
As far as artsy goes, I would say it's fairly artsy, but to what end, I guess, is my question.
You know, maybe it's one of those things where you go to an art gallery and if you don't get it, you just assume that it's your own bad. And sometimes it's like, well, no, this just doesn't connect with me.
And they're like, no, that really is just a trash can.
Right. It's like, no, I don't see it. It is it is trash. I don't get it. So anyway.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well, we did it, though.
Yeah, we made it.
Go team.
That's one of Vanel's favorite things, right? That we made it.
Ooh, ooh.
There you go. So before moving on to our, our second film, the much more recent film, we should mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. That is a lot of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. So go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. All right, so our sequel with Mr. Clooney. It came out in 2002, and it is also called Solaris.
When you want to get hitched, you keep putting this off. 15 or 20 years, I'm just going to stop asking. You know, you're with the right man.
Your wife. She's dead.
How did you get here?
I love you so much. What's wrong?
That's not your wife. You're dreaming her. She's alive.
You found me.
I came for you. This is my chance.
You don't know what you're in for.
Go back. Go back to Earth. You'll die here.
You're being manipulated. We are not taking her with us.
Are you going to stop me from taking her back?
Grieving psychologist Chris Kelvin is sent to investigate a lonely space station orbiting the mysterious planet Solaris, where terrified crew members are experiencing a host of strange phenomena, including, impossibly, Halcyon? All right. Visitors that
Halcyon seem... Halcyon means, like, perfect.
I don't like it.
Like, if you talk about Halcyon times, that means, like, perfect days.
Can't you just say perfect?
No, because you have to sound pretentious.
Okay, got it.
is it any mystery that I know what that means?
Because you have to sound pretentious. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Once aboard, he confronts an unfathomable power that could hold the key to mankind's deepest dreams and darkest nightmares. Yikes. Yeah. I like that. That was good.
That was pretty good. So what did you think of the remake?
It was a lot easier to get my head around.
Okay.
Let's just start there. It wasn't Halcyon, I guess.
I don't know if that word means what you think it means.
I don't know if that word's inconceivable. Yeah. I mean, like, my first note is went through 25 minutes of dumb shit in 5 minutes, basically. Which I totally appreciated. It just, like, took out the whole... like, hour-long premise of the first one and was just like, hey, by the way, this is what's going on. That having been said, this one, I think, was just easier to figure out because I, like, rummaged my way through the first one. I don't know if George Clooney meant to sweat through the entire thing or if that was just, like, a thing that they wanted him to do.
Oh, no, I think he definitely meant to.
Okay. Because he did.
Good job sweating, George.
Just all the sweats. At night, awake. Oh,
I mean, but how can you not connect with a character that's sweating when he's sleeping? Because how miserable is that?
Oh, I don't... That's not a thing.
Oof. That is the worst.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Okay, well, here's a little bit of private time. A little private talk. So, I'm not a real warm person. Like, I'm cold all the time.
Hearted?
Like, I'm... like when I, like just in my day to day, I'm always cold.
Yep.
Okay. And Anel is very much always hot. Right?
All right.
So when we go and fall asleep, she's always trying to like be near me because I'm cold.
Right.
Which makes me hot. And so I'll get like the big leg swing over and like the arm over. And I'll be, like, trapped on the corner of the bed. And I'll wake up sometimes, and it'll be, like, 3 or 4 in the morning, and I am just full of sweat. And no. It's the worst thing.
Nope.
And it is awful. And I just got, like, this sleepy, dead-legged person on me. So.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I don't know. It was pretty early on in our relationship, but we decided that there would be snuggling before the sleeping, and then the sleeping happens.
The sleeping is your own sleeping.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, like, he'll fall asleep, like, laying on me, I guess, sometimes. Which I'm okay with, I guess, because I don't run hot. But, like, there is no, like, touching under the covers. We have the fan. We have two fans going.
Oh, now, like, see, that's the thing with that. She has a fan. She prefers it just for the noise, and it, like, hits at, like, her knees and below because she doesn't want it to get near her face because she doesn't want to get, like, dry mouth.
Oh, man, a fan in your face is the best.
Yes, and see, I can't have a fan in my face because then subsequently it'll be in her face in the middle of the night when she's smothering me.
I'm just, like, picturing you with your face up to the sky and your eyes open at 3 o'clock in the morning, George Clooney sweating.
Yeah, and I'm just doing, like, the straight-mouthed emoji.
Yes, that is exactly right.
Yep, that's pretty close. you know, anymore, it's like I just shove her over and she just kind of, you know.
Right.
But at the beginning, it was like, oh, my God, I'm just sweating here. Am I supposed to just move? Yeah. By the way, I did spill a beer and was, like, literally drinking it off the top of my office desk here. So I don't know if you heard that, but that's what I was doing.
Oh, I'm really proud of you.
Well, I spilled it, and I wasn't about to have it go to waste.
Right.
Well, I didn't necessarily spill it. I was going Dave Williams style, my dad, and putting ice in a glass. And I didn't calculate the amount of foam that it would have.
Got it.
And that's what happened.
I heard a noise, but it didn't sound like you slurping beer off of the table, so...
Well, I did drop a thing, too, so... Alright, where were we at? So.
Okay, so...
he was sweating.
Yes, George Clooney was sleep... Eric Williams sleep sweating.
Yes.
And just the whole explanation, the more background that I got in this relationship with the wife just seemed to help me more, a lot more. Plus I just like whatever her name is from Californication.
Yeah, Natasha something or other.
Is she's not British in real life, is she?
Natasha McElhone. I think, God, she's got a lot of weird stuff in her name. Yeah, she's from the UK.
She really is. Okay.
Were you questioning that accent?
A little bit.
Isn't that weird? Like, sometimes I'll hear someone that's from England or from the UK, and I'll be like, I don't think their accent's any good. And then when I find that out, I'll be like, whoa.
Right? Isn't that funny?
Maybe I don't know about accents like I think I do. But I always pretend like I'm right.
But the other thing, yeah, that's true. But the other thing is, like, in America, we have 72,000 different accents, so maybe she's doing a different British accent, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, maybe she's Cockney, and she's trying to put on, like, a posh British accent.
I wasn't going to say Cockney. She's, look, you know, but there's the Wales accent that has, like, a little bit of the Irish in it, maybe, and so, like, you know, I don't know. That's what I was thinking.
But I do enjoy her, too. She does have that sort of... She looks a little bit like Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
No.
Yes, she does.
No.
Cruz. No. Have you ever seen Dr. Quinn?
Yeah.
I feel like you haven't.
We'll do a side-by-side on our new Instagram.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
That's really
funny. I just can't get over the cheekbones. Like.
Oh, yeah. She's got, like, really intense cheekbones.
Right. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, she's working for a reason.
Right. So did you feel like you could kind of go with the flow on this one a little bit easier?
Okay, here's the deal with me.
Oh, no.
I really liked this.
All right.
And I don't know if it's because I had seen it before, didn't get it. Like, I saw it before, and on my Netflix, I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Yikes.
Because... I apparently just didn't get it at all. And then I saw the original and got that even less. I was like, oh.
Lesser of two evils.
Yeah. And so then when I watched this, I was like, oh, okay, this makes way more sense.
God, it really did.
And it's over an hour shorter.
Yeah.
It's like an hour and 15 minutes shorter. Holy shit. But anyway, So watching this, I don't know what I expected the first time, but I really enjoyed it a lot. Like, I was really happy with it. I thought that most of the things worked really well. There was some of it where it's, you know, it's kind of like, man, I don't know if that's really the thing you want to do, but, I was pretty pleased with George Clooney. He's not really my favorite guy. Like, he's not a guy that I'm like, oh, gotta watch that new Clooney movie. He's like more of a movie star to me than he is an actor.
Okay.
But yeah, so I did have one question for you. It was, what did you think of how in this version, and I'm pretty sure I know your answer, but in this version we have a video file that kind of gets us up to date on all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's what's going on in space, and here's what they're coming into contact with. Here's what your job is, George.
Yeah.
To where in the old version, they had that black and white testimony that was cutting to color and had the guy that, is that the same guy? It looks kind of like him, but man,
right?
He looks terrible now. And
that's dad?
Yeah. It's like, well, he's Russian, so is that the same dude, or does he just look like the other guys? I don't know. Am I being racist? Oh, man, now I'm on a tangent. You know, is that kind of thing for me.
Wow.
Yeah, you know. Well, whatever. But so I was just wondering, like, how much better you thought that that worked, because I felt like that was a really big time saver and a really big sort of just cutting through all of the shit and getting through to the story.
Yeah, that was what my note was. We went through like the first 25 minutes. I said it's like the Russian film, only someone actually edited it.
It wasn't just dailies. It was like
they didn't just like throw that shit straight. It got to like the cutting floor first, and they were like, time out. Who is this guy that looks like the guy on the TV? We don't need any of this. No. No.
That's pretty funny.
I really did appreciate it that it got cut. And here's the deal with this is like, I don't know if I did like this movie,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if I liked it just because it wasn't the other movie.
Yes.
Is it like that annoying friend that you don't really hang out with, but then you're in a group of strangers and you see them and you're like, oh my god, thank god you're here! Like,
I know someone. Oh, let's be friends.
So I was trying to watch it both ways where I was like, you know, comparing, but also like, if I just watch this, would I like it? I think the answer is yes. I really like Viola Davis, even though her part wasn't very big, but she always just, I really just enjoy her as a person.
Well, don't hate on someone just because their part isn't big is all I'm saying.
I know, that's what I'm saying, you know.
I don't know that
you... Junior.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I don't know that you understood what I was saying there, but that's okay.
What are you saying?
Never mind.
Oh, you're making a sexy joke about penises.
Yes, I was.
Got it. Normally I would pick up on that, you're right. I must be slipping in my old age.
Must be.
There's
a little Mallrats action there.
It was. good call. and... It just seemed like maybe they were dumbing it down, but I appreciated it. At this point, I was just like, thank God.
Yes. Okay. And that's sort of what I was thinking too is, okay, if you look at the same Metacritic score, the other one got a 90 out of 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one got a 65. Okay.
Meters.
On IMDb, the other one, their overall rating, the other one has like an 8.1 or something like that. This one has a 6.2. So,
why?
So people do not like this movie by a long stretch compared to the original one. And I don't get it. And I feel like, oh, I'm one of those, ignorant, stupid Americans that give me the Transformers, give me the freaking, you know, give me the superhero movies where I don't have to think whatsoever is what this makes me feel like. By liking this version much more than the original.
I kind of think, you know, when we went through the IMDb, like, top 100, and we're like, I'm pretty sure that movie's on there just because it's, like, word of mouth. People said it's so great.
Yes.
Someone watched it, and they're like, I don't see why it's so great, but I give it a 10 because it's so great.
Oh, I heard The Godfather's wonderful. 10.
Right. Uh-huh. And so, like, that might be what's going on. Once again, we may have missed the boat completely and we're just idiots.
Good bait.
Which, you know, I'm not ruling out by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm trying to talk myself into ruling that out. I'm trying to be like, no, you're a smart guy. You got it.
I feel like we're semi-smart people.
Yes.
But this one to me, though, had a purpose. And it might not have been the same purpose as the original movie, but this movie to me was about dealing with loss, you know, and like there were themes that I could get in line with that I'm like, okay, well, this is what it's about. I'm going to, you know, figure that out and we're going to do all that. And so the ending to me seemed a little more wrapped up, which, you know, pros and cons of all that going on.
Yeah, we can talk about the kind of twist at the end, which I don't know that I really needed, but I kind of liked that it's just about this guy and his wife, and she's gone, and he can't handle it, and he brings her back, and he realizes that she's not real, and he sends her away, and she comes back again, and he says, I don't give a shit if she's not real or not, because I can't handle not having her around.
But she is like, I really liked that scene where she was like, I am what you remember me as.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, shit.
And I mean, that's no shit, though, right? Like, when I think about things and how stories happened, I'm like, well, is that really how it happened? Because I can exaggerate a lot, so.
Yeah, or just make shit up enough to the point where I think it's real. I do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I like to tell a good story, and so most of what I say is probably bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did that really happen that way? No. Did I make it funnier? Yes.
Yeah. I don't remember Alien, but like that was probably a thing that happened. I'm sure of it. So I really liked that you can't, you know, maybe trust your own consciousness at times. Like, I totally get that. And I just really liked that. I'm how you remember me. So like last time you saw her when she was sobbing and incoherent and even had like a squeakier British voice. Like, that's how you remember her, because that's the horrible traumatic part that's stuck in your mind forever. And like, I don't know, that just like, I got that part. So I was like, sweet.
Yeah. He was like, oh my God, I'm understanding something with this movie.
I'm writing it down. I understood. Check mark.
Some of the things I wrote down too was, I put blood equals leave because when he gets to the station and there's blood all over the place, nope. I'd have turned around and left.
Yep. I would have left, too.
Like, my friend, you are a psychologist. You are not a medical doctor. Turn around and get the hell out of there. So I appreciated that. I did also have a theory.
Oh, good.
We went and saw the train sequence where they first saw each other, right?
Yes.
Him and his wife.
Yep, when she's holding the doorknob.
Uh-huh. And I put the train and the Clooney stare equals sploosh was with a question mark because it's George Clooney, right? And he's never looked more George Clooney than in that moment.
I know. Well, yeah. Every time I see him doing that, I think of that Amy Poehler, Tina Fey joke where they say this guy makes George Clooney look like garbage.
Mm.
We introduce old George Clooney. So he just introduced himself.
I like that. So anyway, that I like how Little Cruz Sayings is finding their way into my notebook.
Sploosh?
Yep.
That's from Archer, man.
That's the only time I've ever heard that, though.
I don't believe it. I bet you say sploosh all the time, Liar McLiarson.
I'm saying from you is what I'm saying. It's the only person. I want to meet the person out there who's like, I don't understand what this sploosh thing is about. I'm going to write in.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's talk
about... your pants. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Let's talk about the birds and the bees.
You know, and I like the whole flash... I was going to say backflash, which is an entirely different thing, apparently. But flashback scenes where we, you know, don't get, this is how we met... You know, there's no, like, narration. It's just, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, who's she? She's a handful, but, you know, you can... It'll be worth it, et cetera. And so I just, you know, I'm a fan of allowing, you know, people to figure out through dialogue. And so I really appreciated that, for sure.
Yeah, I put down that I love the extended backstory between the two of them.
Yeah.
Because it made it very clear that this wasn't about the weird energy planet thing. It wasn't about the, there wasn't like little people running around on the station with beards. It was about their relationship and their story.
Yes.
That was the central theme, and that was fine with me. But I was glad that I was able to decipher that, I guess.
Yes, you know? I agree. It kind of, like, I just want you to go with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It kind of paralleled whatever that Stephen King movie was, where they're, like, trapped in the supermarket.
The Mist.
The Mist, where it's, like, you give them a space to figure out, like, their shit, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, like, a bunch of psychological things going on, and, like, it could technically be anywhere. Like, this could have weirdly happened somehow at a supermarket, but it didn't. It happened on a space station, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it could have been set... This could have been... The story could have been set in the Wild West, in exploring the New World, in anything.
Right.
You know? They just happened to use a sci-fi trope to go about it.
Yes. And so, I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought kind of the same thing. Yeah.
Every time, well, not you, because it's not like you do this a lot, but every time I hear The Mist and reference that movie, the only thing that I think of is Marcia Gay Harden, that crazy religious woman, and the way that she says God, like G-A-W-D. And I love that. And Anel hates the shit out of that character. And so that really pleases me.
Oh my God!
What?
Like Danny.
And it's when she's just absolutely like preaching, you know, and losing it. That movie's really good. I really like that movie.
You know what's really funny about that is while I was watching it, I was kind of like, "What the fuck is this movie?" And then after you explained it to me, I was like, "Oh."
Well, I just think it's so fucked up the way that it ends.
Yeah.
And I mean, spoilers for that movie, but to have it be so very clear that no one's going to escape, and then he gets away and kills himself, and then you see that other people have already escaped.
Yeah.
It was just such a kick in the balls, and I was oh, that is the good stuff.
That's such an Eric Williams ending. That's the Eric Williams ending of all time.
Oh, it really is. I'm like, oh, let me just twist that knife a little bit.
God, the only thing would be better is if you, like, saw it.
He, like, sees it out of the corner of his eye as he's pulling the trigger.
Right. Yep. That would have been better.
Okay, so let's get back to Solaris. And I did put in here halfway through, even though we've already gone through this, was I wrote down that sweet... Let me say that again. Sweat sleeping is the worst.
Yeah. I don't have that problem, but...
Well, I don't have it on my own, but... You know, and the really bad thing was, let's continue this story time, Bruce. The really bad part was when Anel and I first started dating, and I would stay over at her mom's house where she was staying, as a grown woman in the basement. I would go down there, and her and Anish shared the same bed, and Joey was on the bed too, the cat.
Wow.
And so they were all on there, and I would lay in between them, and they would both be like, next to me, like, touching on the either side, and they are both very, very hot. And so then I would sweat and have Joey, like, right next to me, either on my stomach or whatever, and just all of them just making me sweat.
So, yeah. Katie does that, I think. Katie runs hot when she sleeps, too. She always, we used to call her Sweatball when she was little, so...
Well, that's why her...
Like 7,000 other names that I'm actually really impressed that she's a normal human being right now, so...
That's why her and Strauss can get along in a way that I cannot.
Right? Sweatball friends.
They have the running hot thing together, I guess.
Yeah.
So, alright, well, let's...
So, one of the things that I wrote, I don't know why, but... So we're at the end, I'm gonna spoil it.
Yes, that's what I was going to.
Spoil, he's not on Earth, even though he's on the subway. What? So, is that like a Matrix kind of deal? Or like, what the hell is going on there?
Okay. This is a good question. So, we see that scene at the very beginning where he's chopping something, and he's chopping it like obnoxiously.
Broccoli.
Right? I thought it was like a cucumber or something.
I was just pretending I was...
Oh. It's something like a cucumber or a zucchini or something like that.
Some
sort of phallic shape. And so he's chopping it, but he's doing it like really obvious, like actor chopping it.
Right.
And
like driving a car spurt, like with your hands, like.
Yeah. You go 3 to 9 to 3 to 9.
Yeah.
He's doing that. And so he's chopping it very loudly. And then he cuts himself, of course. And it's like this huge cut. And it's like got like a blood underneath the cut already. And looks like it's like 3 days old, even though it's supposed to be brand new. And he like sucks on it and whatever. And then at the end of the movie, it does do the sort of loaded gun, and then the gun goes off at the end of the thing, right? Because at the end of the film, we see him cutting the same thing in the same way. He cuts himself, and then he's running his finger under the water, and then it heals itself.
Yep.
Right? Just like how she had healed herself earlier.
Right.
And so then I was like, oh, shit. Like, it's not actually him. Like, he's been replaced, just like the dude from Lost has been replaced. The dude, the snow guy.
Yeah, I didn't watch Lost, but thanks for that.
Well, it's the guy that played Snoot in the remake was named Snow instead.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, that dude.
I thought you were...
It wasn't a spoiler. Yeah. It wasn't a spoiler.
So, sorry, we'll come back to this, but go on.
So anyway, so I was like, oh, okay, so... It's a replacement, so he's not actually on Earth. He's still there, on the planet, in his mind. Or is he on Earth, and it's just a replacement version of him? And I was like, is that what the movie's about? Not really. I was like, that's not really the central theme to me. The theme is about the two of them. And so I kind of felt like we were getting a little off track towards the very end. Like it was trying to do a little much. It seemed like very streamlined at the beginning of the film, and then at the end it was like, well, here's this little twist, and here's some extra stuff. And then that kind of got me thinking about something completely different instead of the love story that was happening throughout most of the story.
I mean, what I got out of that is that, like, he kind of got swallowed up by the Solaris, and so, like...
By the planet.
And, like, in his own consciousness somehow, and so, like, it was almost like Inception, and he was an architect.
Okay, so that was just in his own mind. And he wasn't aware that he wasn't the real one until he cut his finger and saw it heal.
But I think he's like, yeah, I mean, like, he asked if, are we dead? And she's like, we don't have to worry about that anymore. So, like, what I get out of it is he lets Viola Davis go back to Earth. And
yes.
He stays, and whatever weird shit happens, he either is, like, dead and only in his consciousness right now.
Yes.
He turned all weird and Solaris-y or something, but like either way, her telling him, don't worry about it, means that's what she's telling us.
Mm.
So, like, don't try to dig too deep into this shit.
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I can appreciate that.
And I think about it, and she's like, do not. You're still in love. Focus on me. Focus
I realized that he was doing like a real soap opera sort of like losing your mind scream there for a while after they separate the ship and Viola Davis, and he goes like, ah, and like makes this real sort of weak scream.
And do you know what? This happens to me sometimes, and I'm sure it happens to you because you watch movies, you know, in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so like sometimes I'm watching a movie and I'm just so into it that I forget that people are actors. But sometimes there's like a scene or something where I'm like, I can just picture the sound stage and the people behind him taping it.
Oh, yeah.
Immersed in it. I'm just watching George Clooney scream on the ground, thinking he must be really embarrassed about having to do. And like the rest of the movie, I didn't, you know, that wasn't really what I was thinking, but just, I remember that scene just like coming out of the movie and being like, oh God, this is like kind of hard to watch. I'm sure it was hard for him to tape. And so like that kind of like took it away from me because like I wasn't immersed in it. So I don't know what that scene did, but it wasn't great.
That's really funny that you mentioned that because that's the same scene where I felt like he was self-conscious in the way that he was performing that.
Oh, totally. I totally agree.
Yeah. It was like, he was like, okay, let me just get this first one out of my system. And I don't feel real good about it. And,
Yes. Oh my God.
He does it. Yeah, they're like, and they do it. And they're like, George, we don't have time to go again. We're just going to use that one. We're good.
And he's like, oh, fine. I don't want to do it anyway.
Right. It just seems like you see people screaming and sort of losing their mind a lot more convincingly than that.
Yep, totally agree.
And it just didn't feel right.
Yep, okay. Well, we both got that same vibe. That's interesting.
Yeah, I did put on here that all of this nonsense is all because George is wanting to dip his wick, and that's not cool. Like, this is a lot of problems for him just wanting to have some sex with his ex-dead wife.
Yeah, you know that's not, I mean, sweaty sex, too. That's cool. Anyway.
I don't know, I'm not really down for that, but whatever.
It's like hot yoga. The other part of the movie that bugged the shit out of me for some reason, and I don't know why, is he cuts his finger and he heals, and he looks up, and you know that she's in there, because she says, like, hey, baby, or I don't know what the hell she says. Like, hello.
In a very strange voice, though.
Right, it was like, hello, Chris.
Yeah, it didn't sound like her. It sounded like someone else ADR'd that in and was like, oh, shit, we didn't get her to say this. You're a girl, just pretend to be British.
Right.
But hello, like, Chris.
Like, hello, governor is like what I heard.
Yeah.
But he looks up and for some reason, I don't know why, the angle of the camera of just him coming and staring right at you annoyed the shit out of me. Oh. I was like, I hate this. I don't know why, because they didn't show her immediately, and if that was like supposed to build tension, it obviously didn't for me, because like, who the fuck else would it be? Honestly,
yeah.
The other woman that's on Earth.
Imagine it being anyone else.
Right?
How
it's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Mind blow.
Holy shit, that'd have been so funny. He's like, it's like, hello, Chris, and then you look and it's like Batman.
Right?
What the fuck?
So like, I don't know why, but like, I was just really annoyed. Like, it's obviously his wife, and he's obviously like running toward her. But he's running toward you, watching, and I don't know what, if it was like to build tension or if he was just like trying to have a crazy camera angle, but like immediately after it switched to them looking at each other, I felt a lot better about my life. I don't know.
I did too. Like once it was switched to her, and I was like, okay, clearly.
Right.
And they started, you know, and then it was more of a two shot or whatever. I was like, I just don't like this head on camera angle either.
No, I did not.
It was disconcerting because I guess if you're in a horror film or something and you do that straight on and you're having the bad guy walk straight to you, I get it then. But I was like, what is this? Like,
it didn't make sense.
George, you know, it's like, get out of my face.
Or like even, you know, like tape him from behind. Is it tape, film, whatever the fuck it is? I'm not a producer. I work in it.
Yeah, you just tell Nolan what to do. I mean, it's like,
right? I'm gonna have to get Steven on speed dial too, honestly. But like, you know, have the scene for him like coming from behind, and you're at an angle where you can't see who he's running to, or something. Like, if you want to build some tension, but that head-on scene only works, like you said, in horror movies and very other little scenes.
Yes.
In any movie does that work, and it just annoyed the shit out of me. I don't know why.
I hear you. So what did you think? Was it a happy ending? Was it a sad ending? Like, what were we supposed to walk away with the film? Because I kind of felt like, oh, it's so tragic that this guy, you know, he's a psychologist, so he's aware of how love can be a choice and an addiction, and it can be, you know, all of these chemicals and all this kind of stuff, but he's sort of so wrapped up in this dead wife of his that he can't help himself, even though intellectually he realizes that it's not her and all this sort of stuff. But then we get to the end and it's all about, we're on this planet and doesn't matter, and am I real, am I not real? And it seems to be very small for most of the film and then get really big all of a sudden at the end.
I mean,
in terms of what it's asking.
Honestly though, like, in thinking for me, like, when he, like, makes the decision to stay, I was like, all right. Because, like, what honestly does he have to lose?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's the thing. If they would have had a child at home.
Yeah.
And they talk about, you know, he has his mom or her mom or whatever watching out for the kid, and then he still decides to stay up there. That would have been a lot more compelling to me, because it's like, oh, damn, like, you're leaving your own kid at home? you fucker. Right. You know, for this person that's not real, that's just a representation of your wife. And that would have been really interesting to me. And they had like 70 kids in the original version, right? They had just these fucking kids running all over the place, and I didn't have any idea who any of them were.
Right. They were just like weird orphanage kids.
So if they would have decided to do something along those lines, I would have understood that. But they made it clear that she chose to have she had an abortion, right? Didn't she choose to not have a kid?
Is that what that was?
They were having a fight about something, and I just assumed that's what it was about.
I mean, I know they were fighting about having kids, but that makes a lot more sense. I thought, like, that someone had brought up, I want to have kids, and she was like, I don't want to have kids, and I thought you knew that, but the abortion thing would...
I mean, either way, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like they could have gone a little further if they would have had her had a child.
I totally agree. Or, like, he is a psychologist, and he is battling depression from this, and he is, a kid and a family dynamic, like a mother and father that are trying to help him, like, get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, chooses to stay. I would have been like, oh, damn.
That would have been really good.
Yeah. Thank you. But it was almost just like, I mean, what does he have to lose? He's going to go back to his creepy apartment and sit next to string on the subway and, like...
Because it's, you know, that is kind of the drawback, is we've only seen him with his dead wife and this replacement, because, so we don't know, you know, we get the idea because he's going on the space station that he's successful, that he's, you know, good at his job, because otherwise why would he be asked to go? But it's not like we know him outside of her, so we don't know, like, well, does he have something to go home to? I guess not.
Right. I mean, like, he has it. I mean, the first, you know, whatever, 10 minutes or whatever, he is running that group, mm-hmm. talk for people, and then he goes home, and he doesn't even have a dog or anything.
So. Yeah, so it's like, why not? Just stay there. Who cares?
Right?
I don't know. It just seems like it could have been, I don't know, it could have been really good, this version. As it is, I think it was good.
Yeah, there could have been, like, a really shitty, like, gone baby gone kind of choice, and we could have been arguing about it right now, but right now we're just trying to make that shit up.
So. Right. Yes, so I definitely think that I enjoyed this version much more than the original.
Well, yes.
You know, it's one where we're not having to struggle to get 10 minutes out of a discussion.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
So I think that if people were going to watch a film, I think that I would recommend, unless they're some sort of completist, to watch this newer version. I think it stands up on its own without having to know anything about the previous version.
Agreed.
I am glad that they remade it. I think it's an interesting story. I just don't think that they've done it exactly right yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like...
I have to call Chris Nolan.
Hey, Chris, buddy. Steven Soderbergh, he's pretty good. You know, he does those Oceans films, too. He's apparently somewhere...
It's like, okay.
We're a fan of him, apparently, because we've done three remake shows, and two of them have been Steven Soderbergh films. So he's all right.
Shit, well, you can just cover people's movies.
Yeah. And so he... you know, he does okay, but what I want to do is I want to fix up this ending a little bit on this whole Solaris issue. I'm sure that's going to be a huge box office sell. I'm doing this again, like another 14, 15 years after the one came out.
It's a 15th anniversary. You spice it up a little bit. Get old edition. George Clooney in there.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
He could play... The George Clooney that's watching this one.
From the original.
Shaking his head a little bit.
We can put that in there, yeah. He's watching himself in the previous version.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man, I really didn't sell this scream, did I? Sorry, guys.
Yes.
That would be good.
Oh, boy.
No, so I definitely appreciated the newer one better. I promise that next episode we will not be doing a Steven Soderbergh film. So
I'm gonna find one. I have one question before we wrap up.
Okay, what's up?
Okay, so very skinny guy from Lost apparently is what he was on.
Yeah, from the last like three seasons of Lost or so.
You know, so we get the weird twist that he's like actually the.
Oh yeah, the original of him is in the ceiling, in the drop down ceiling.
So my question is, he's in the drop down ceiling.
Yeah.
So I thought that these people were like a representation of something in someone's psyche or mind or whatever.
Yes.
When you die, I was just confused about that part because like I assumed that since his brain shut off that this guy would kind of like Back to the Future dissipate.
Oh, okay. I think that it is if he's alive when the person is created, like they're separate and their own entity.
Okay.
I thought. Because I think it's a thing where when the person's first created, they're very dependent still, just like in the first movie, on that original person, and then they start to gain their own independence and their own thoughts as they go on.
So that guy just had to do it in 30 seconds.
Well, I guess. Or he could have been dead up there for a while. Because I don't know. It wasn't that clear to me as to how long he was dead. Like the original real version of him.
He said that the new one said, imagine being alive for 30 seconds and having to fight someone off that's attacking you.
Right. Yeah, he said he had just come into existence and then like had killed the other one. But I don't know how long the fake one has been around.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, what you were saying is that you have to kind of, like, alien parasite off of somebody for a while.
Uh-huh.
He didn't.
Oh, that's right. Well, maybe that's why he's crazy ass.
Right? Okay.
Because he's a little crazy. I didn't know
if you had an explanation for that.
Nah. I mean, that's the sort of character that he plays in Lost, too. Like, a real sort of aloof, like, who the fuck is this guy? Kind of a guy.
CP, super cool. What are you talking about?
So that's the sort of dude that he plays. And that's another thing. It's like, what was the point of, what's the ultimate point of that? Like, okay, we have this, was it just to show that, you never know if someone's real or if they're a construct or something?
Yeah, I think it was like setting up the final scene.
Okay.
So we weren't like 100% blown away.
But what if you're like a super nerd and have seen like Battlestar Galactica and stuff? Because it already does that sort of thing in that show, so.
What if you're not a super nerd and it's set up perfectly fine?
Then good for you, Cruz. And it is 2002, so I guess that was before that show came back or whatever.
Bears, so. Beats.
We just watched that not too long ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, that episode was just not too long. Ugh, Jim, comment. Hey, Karen, you want to have sex tonight? Do you want to have sex tonight? No. It was that. Not too long ago. Okay, so anything else about Solaris before we wrap this one up, Cruz? This was a good one, though. I thought I was glad that you didn't have the answers for the original also.
You really didn't expect me to, did you?
Well, I was hoping that you didn't, to be honest, because I was like, oh, shit. Like, if I don't have any idea what was going on in that fucking movie.
And if Cruz knows, she's going to make me feel like a big dumbass. And I would have, too.
Oh, yeah. You would have rubbed that in so bad if you would have known all of the things about that and I had no clue.
Yep, but we're both stupid, so there.
Yeah, solidarity. I like it. Okay, so if you have any comments for the show or if you have any answers or explanations about the original... the original version of Solaris, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you can follow me. I'm @ericwilliam79, or you could follow Rachel. She's @ladyzlag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And we also have an Instagram account that we had alluded to earlier. You could follow that @plainlabelpodcast.
Mm-hmm.
How sneaky is that? You could also follow Rachel over there. She's @LadyZlag again, even though I spelled it wrong in the script. Or you could follow myself @EricDWilliams98 because it is hard as hell to find an original name for my boring ass name on social media.
That's great.
Yeah.
You don't gotta worry about me.
That's true. So if you wanted to help us out a little bit, besides, you know, being our friends on those things, you could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of the movies that we want, equipment that we need, and a whole host of other goodies in case you're in the giving mood. Just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with our final episode on remakes.